good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. I'm Ben Choder, CEO of Call Review, and I am so excited for this episode of Inside Track. And we have two incredible special guests from Morgan Auto Group, the one and only Tom Moore and Grant Hocking. And I am so excited because they're going to talk to Eric and about Telium and Call Review and how we help deliver smarter, more connected customer experiences, unified data, real-time context. You're going to not want to miss this, and you're going to want to participate. Ask a lot of questions. I'm going to sit back and watch. Everyone have an incredible show, and now I'll leave it to you.
All right. Welcome, everybody, back to the second episode of our live Inside Track series with co-sponsored with Telium. I am joined once again by Josh Wolf. Unfortunately, my partner in crime, Kurt, was not able to be here today. But make sure if you're talking about this out on the social sphere, you use that hashtag work with Quirk. So that way he knows that we're thinking about him. And we're going to bring Tom and Grant here from Morgan Auto Group on stage in just a moment to join us for our second part of the conversation and around real-time personalization. We're going to get an understanding of how Morgan really transferred their conversations from static kind of, you know, simple things into a real set of personalization and got all of the throughput from everything that's happening on their website and everything that's happening with those conversions from there through the phone system with Call Review. And we're going to learn where they are in that process and how it went through. So last time, Josh, we talked a little bit about the kind of the theory of this in practice. And I know we're going to bring Tom and Grant on to talk about it and actual practice. But I think one of the biggest aha moments that I had from last time was how many dealers are still out there in this world trying to figure all this out and understand what real-time personalization can really power at their dealership and how the data can be used from the website into the phone conversation and then back then to your platform for learning opportunities or better data management and things like that. What was your biggest aha moment from the first show?
Yeah, I think there are lots of sort of limitations in the way that sort of traditional software can be used to personalize the customer's experience and lots of silos between these different technologies. And the aha moment really is that's not necessarily the way it has to be for auto dealers anymore. And that you can really break down a lot of those silos and you can do a lot of the things that maybe you thought you couldn't before. So I think it's a really exciting time and that there's all sorts of new and really powerful marketing and personalization experiences that you can give to your customers. And, don't sort of think that the old limitations still apply.
Excellent. So with that, I am going to bring our two guests of honor onto stage today. We're going to be have Mr. Tom Moore here and Mr. Grant Hocking. Thank you both very much for joining us today. And for those of you who are not familiar, Tom is the Chief Operating Officer of the Morgan Auto Group, and then Grant is the Director of Digital Strategies. Welcome to the Inside Track, both of you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
So let's go ahead and we're going to jump right in with this, right? And I think we're going to start, around understanding some of the challenges that you guys had along this journey and really where you are, because this was a lot of uncharted territory for you, Tom and Grant, when you originally got started. So what were some of the things that you learned during this process and where you are in it? Let's start there.
Well, so we started on this journey about 2 years ago, and we're a large group. We have about 73 stores scattered all throughout Florida. And we, as the word customer data platform, I started to hear it, I decided to start listening to what that really was. And the reality is car dealerships' best asset, number one asset, is their first-party data. But as a group, car dealers that's never been a concern of ours. The only place we had any data was inside our DMS, and it's a transactional platform, but as a place to keep up with what customers you have and what cars they own and all the above, it's just not a good spot.
Right.
So we decided that we wanted to create our own customer data platform. It sounded like, I'll tell you, it turned out to be a lot more of an undertaking than we thought it was because we were kind of first in on this. first step was choosing a partner, and we ended up choosing Tealium, and I'm certainly glad we did. I'm assuming that most everybody on this call knows what a customer data or CDP is, so I won't spend any time on that. But the first step was taking our DMS and creating an ingestion plan to clean up our data in the DMS and ingest that into Tealium, which about 60% of our customers that were in the DMS no longer own the car that we thought they did. So there was a lot of cleanup there. But, and then we have a daily cleanup plan. So as data goes back and forth between the DMS and Tealium, the CDP, it gets cleaned and it gets appended email addresses, mm-hmm. phone numbers, and all of the above. But one of the major sources of contacts, there's two places that where we really touch base with the customer. One, our average dealership gets about 60,000 website visits a month. So we put a Tealium script on that website. So it updates the Tealium. Whenever a customer touches our website, we collect some data on those customers, things we can, and other things we can't. We collect some data and we update customers' records that are already in there. So we know when they touch our website, which is great. But the second place where you get the majority of your contacts with customers is still like it was when I first got in the business. And I'm not going to tell anybody when that was. It's too long ago, so I'll date myself. But the phone. People call the store. That's the number one source. So we were fragmented in our – we were at least smart enough to know that we needed some type of a phone monitoring software. There's several out there. There's Call Review, of course, is on this call. And then there was Car Wars and several others. We were fragmented. So to truly pull off the strategy we wanted to, we moved all of our stores over to Call Review. And the reason was, is Call Review was willing to create a bi-directional API. In other words, integrate completely with Tealium. So now if any customer calls our dealership and they're in Tealium as a customer of ours, it updates that record immediately on the spot, real time. If they hung up, we know that, and it triggers an event for us to reach back out to them and find out what happened. It records that conversation. It updates the record on what kind of car they called about. We have an incredible amount of information now, and it would have been impossible for us to do. Now, great, with Call Review, we always knew when people called the store, we could listen to the recordings and all that. But now we have it for all of our stores combined into one platform, everything that happens with that. This gave us an incredible amount of marketing leverage. And I can go into some of the other things later on in the other segment, and I will. I'll go into some use cases and some things that we actually have accomplished as a result of that integration. But that's how that was our journey, and that's kind of how we got to where we are right now.
That's amazing. So, Tom, one thing I wanted to pull out of there a little bit is was there a specific moment when you realized that this had to change, right? Like, what was the tipping point for you at Morgan where you said, you know what, you went over all the fragmented pieces, but what was it? Was there a moment that dealers listening today can maybe share or recognize that would help them along this journey that you really put your foot down and said, you know what, we got to make this change?
Well, there's three or four things. First of all, the automotive industry is late to the party. So I started realizing some time ago, we all do business with big box retailers. We all, and they've gotten so good at whenever you went onto their website, you'd abandon what you were looking at. You immediately got a personalized text, usually, sometimes contact via email, depending. That was that particular product that you were looking at. I mean, it was truly personalized. Hey, look, and the marketing outreach that you would get from them was personalized too. They clearly knew you. So there was some way they were accomplishing all that. And the big box retailers, the financial institutions, and all those. So I knew we had a problem because we were unable to do that. And I always thought, geez, wouldn't it be nice if we could market that way ourselves, but there just simply wasn't any way to do that. So the aha moment for me was, as Brian Pash reached out to me and said, hey, have you ever thought about a customer data platform? And once I realized that, aha, that's how these big box retailers and the financial and all the other ones, so that's how they know exactly what their customer, how they know so quickly what their customer did and how they send all this personalized marketing, because they know everything about their customer and they have a way to keep up with that and update it on a real-time basis. So I guess that was the aha moment for me. That's what caused us to move forward.
That's great. And it's really interesting to hear, because I've talked to several dealer groups around, and it's a very similar story across the industry that we're hearing. And that story that you just told us, you know, your counterparts in different verticals or different industries are the ones that are taking that over. So before we move on to our next topic, get this question is, what systems or workflows were the most disconnected for you guys that are, and were kind of the low hanging fruit that you wanted to fix first in this journey?
Our CRM, our DMS, and our phone, and our phones. Those three, they operate independently. And there's been a CRM for a long time. Everybody has a CRM. Everybody has a DMS. I would assume most car dealers at least do something in recording their phone calls, or at least knowing some type of an alert system when customers call. But all three of those were the ones that were the priority for us to connect those to TLM, to our CDP platform, because those are the three most important ways. And then our website, of course, too, as well. So all four of those now, there's not a single, but we don't allow a vendor to put a CTA button. In other words, like best price or appraise your car, or get your payment, things like that. We don't allow them to put one of those on our website unless it's connected to TLM as well. So every single part of our website, every click, hover, swipe is connected to TLM, and we record all that in that customer's file. The technology that TLM has that allows that to happen, is sometimes it's hard for me to imagine how they could take all those different reference points and combine them into one profile. But they do, and it works.
That's amazing. So I want to move on to our next section. And as I do that, I'm going to put a poll up real quick for our audience, so we'll be able to see that poll popping up here in a couple of sections. But I want to shift gears a little bit around. And to, you know, walk through what it took to connect the data and systems like you were just talking about, right? So you talked a little bit about where the three systems or four systems were, your phone, your CRM, your DMS, that were all in separate buckets. What were the first steps that you took to connect that data? Because we were in there, and then, you know, you brought TLM in. So where was the first step you took to really start hooking those systems together?
Okay, so TLM built a CDP, but basically there was nothing in there. Step one was to connect the DMS, which if we would have just connected the DMS, we would have taken a trash can and thrown it into a brand new room. So we had to find a data cleanup solution, a data hygiene solution, which we did. We partner with another company who cleans that up. And it cleans it daily as it goes back and forth. So step one was to hook up the DMS. Step two was to get a script on a website. And by the way, all the automotive websites, if you decide to do this, we did some work for you. Because when we first started doing this and told them we wanted to put Tito script on the website, every single website platform says, no way, it's not going to happen. We are not going to put a script on the website where you're able to pull data. I said, well, it happens in other industries. Long story short, that took a while to convince them to do that. We got one of them to break, and the other ones did too. So that was a huge journey. And then the easier journey really was, the hardest part was moving all of our stores over to one platform, CallRevue, even though 60% of them already would. But then that was a pretty easy connection because you all built a super bidirectional API and worked closely with TLM. So that was probably the least difficult part of the journey.
Great. So, Josh, I know you've been involved in this process, right? And then, you know, Tom, I'll start with you. And then, Josh, I would love you to elaborate a little bit more on how you guys do this. But how did the adding the scripts and everything really help you centralize that data out to all of the stores and give you the visibility into everything that you were looking to achieve there? And with that, as you're answering, Tom, I'm going to put our poll up on stage there so we can see. You know, how close is your dealership? We got a pretty even spread there. We've already implemented. We're in the planning phase. So Josh and Tom, I'll let you pontificate on that question there, right, around how you centralize that data and then got it out to the store.
So go ahead. Grant, you want to have this one? You want to go at this here? I haven't let you talk. You want to have at this, or I'll take it, either one. Doesn't matter.
I don't know, boss, you were on a pretty big roll. But I can take that one. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, Tom said, I mean, you know, I think that we have a really, really, the two good things that I think is great about Morgan Audit Group is we have great people and those people all have the same philosophy in mind. And, you know, it's how are we going to make either our internal people better or how are we going to be able to, do more business that is going to make our people better. And, you know, when you need somebody to do something, you find somebody really smart. And in this particular case, we have a fantastic internal person named Jim Kazabuki that came on board that has taken all of that and become an extra Intellium and taken all those data and created all those things to make it really, really easy for the expert to the layman to understand everything coming each way from each system and, you know, building those campaigns so that we can use them. And I think that's the key is not only did we have great companies that we partnered with, but we had a great person and great people that put it all together.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Go ahead, Tom.
So each store has their own slice in the CDP. There's one Morgan Audit Group CDP, but each store has their own slice. And because everything's connected, is Intellium generates events. So lack of a better word, it's just a signal, if you will. And because everything's connected, when something happens that should have one of the stores do a reach out or do some type of an action as a result of what the customer did, we built some technology out that immediately sends what will become common in the industry, a data up, if you will. It's not a lead per se, but it's the store needs to take action. So the store can, hey, this customer called in, this customer hung up, this customer called in, they can get the proper answer. This customer is on the website and they're a customer of ours and they must be looking to buy a new car at one of our other stores. So it's that triggers events which our people can take immediate action on.
Yeah. So from my point of view, you get to a really detailed level to be able to stitch all this data together. There's a lot of details to consider, but I think what works best, what I've done with a lot of customers over the years, is you start on the big picture, right? You have to understand what types of people are you looking to target, what types of information you need for prospects, what types of information you need for active shoppers, for past customers, and then you work your way backwards. You work your way backwards down to the little bits and bytes, the little attributes of what you want to track. And then you go even further backwards to figure out what sources these signals are going to come from, these events, like Tom just said. So you mentioned the DMS and the CRM, websites, apps, all these different sources get mapped out. And I've been looking over, you know, the Morgan deployment and, you know, it looks like over 30 altogether. And that's a lot. So, you know, it will be overwhelming if you just start at that level. But if you start at the big picture and it's really strategic and you know what the value is, that's what brings you back down to that level of detail. And then, you know, once you have all that in the system, that's how you can bring in your expert. And then it's all pretty straightforward in a UI. You want to target a new segment. You want to hit them on email. You want to hit them with an ad. You want to push it to the dealer management system so someone could say something in person the next time they come in. You know, we have all those integrations built out and ready to go because we were thoughtful in advance, thought about all those different destinations, all those different sources, and we have them all wired in. So, you know, looks like Morgan really did this the right way. They thought about it strategically. And when you think about it in the big picture, you're sort of set up for success now ongoing. You have a lot of that data ready to go for whatever that next use case is, even if you don't know what it is today.
That's awesome. Thank you, Josh. And then real quick, so just for Tom and Grant, you know, so with all these insights in real time, how did Call Review help you activate on these and get the, you know, go from data into actionable phone call?
Go ahead, Grant. You take
this. Yeah. So what I would say is interesting, you know, you talk about the big picture. I think, Josh, that's a great point. You talk about the big picture and what's on. I'll say the first step, and, you know, earlier you asked about aha moments, is the first thing that we realized that we had to work on was our infrastructure. not only were we talking about the fact that we made a great decision to partner with CallRView, but we needed to take that partnership a next step. And we needed to also partner with our internal IT department, with our internal stores. So it took us to a place where you say the first place it took us is infrastructurally how we needed to do our customer experience. I mean, you know, when you talk about the basic level of sales, you know, sales service, right? It goes so much more in depth. And now that you're piecing together and stitching together all this data, what you're really finding out is the customer's telling you how they want their journey and their experience to go. So that was step one. Step one was that infrastructure, setting that up. Then step two was making sure that we could teach that tech to where our people could use it to the best of their ability and get the most out of it. And some of those ones, you know, those aren't the easiest things, you know, like with CallRView, they have fantastic things like Avid and, you know, and voice recognition and things like that. Just making sure that our people, one, the ones training it, fully understand it. And then two, are able to set it up properly, because that's the key. You know, tech is great as long as it's one, utilized, and two, set up properly. So once we went down that road, which we knew from a Telian perspective that we had all the data, we had to reconnect our infrastructure, redo a lot of our IVRs, redo a lot of our call routing. That's when we were really able to get, once we knew the customers were getting to the right places, start using the synopsises and start using the AI description of what that is to make more powerful comments, more powerful calls to meet the customer where they were. But it started with infrastructure, which is interesting, but that's where we had to go first in order to tee it up to have those proper conversations.
Sure. And Grant, I want to stay with that on the staff training for just a second. What did the timeline look for that? And how did you chunk that out? Because I know you guys have a lot of stores. It was that handled, you know, on a per store basis, or did you pull everybody together? And I know.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good one. So once again, great leadership, great ideas, great people. And we have a great group of people called e-commerce directors. We have five of them in our company. And they took that role and that responsibility on for their group of stores to take that and direct it down and make sure that we had that Avid completion and stuff like that. So we went to our experts, made them even more experts at this, and then they were able to filter that down and hold their teams accountable. So we were able to probably do a much bigger project because of that siloing of those professional people.
Sure. That's awesome. And then, so with that, I want to go and move on. Thank you, Grant. Before that, we have one question from the audience. Did you guys throughout this journey have to involve any type of data cleansing solution they're interested in knowing?
Yes, we did. If you build your CDP and you do not have data hygiene for your DMS, as you ingest it into the CDP, you're making a horrific mistake. It's no secret. It was, some of you missed it, Automotive Mastermind and AGA announced, but we use Automotive Mastermind for that. Why do we use them? They have a really great business intelligence platform they've already built out. And they're part of S&P Global, which includes Equifax, Polk, and a whole bunch of others. So it was a one-stop solution for us that we pass it through their business intelligence platform from the DMS into the CDP and do that. And we clean it back and forth every day.
Great. Thank you, Tom. So let's go ahead and jump into our next section here, which is around the conversations and follow-up, right? So let's start with, and Grant, I put you on mute real quick, so you'll have to unmute yourself when you get back. But how did the conversations actually start to change when you got this up and running? And what type of change did you see in your agents, whether it's on the fixed op side or the variable op side?
So I think it was, you know, for me, it was really interesting to see the percentage of conversations that were happening. You know, you think as somebody who's teaching on a sales call, a lot of sales stuff, that pricing and salesy stuff is being really discussed. When really what we found was a lot more of it was product knowledge related and related to that particular dealership and or brand, which, you know, is interesting how all things kind of have their proper timing. And, you know, I think that the cool thing about the CDP for Morgan and all this type of stuff is, we've really seen a massive return to that shopkeeper reality, right? That local wanting to do business, customer experience, buy from who you like, you know, which was completely different, you know, as somebody who's not even that old in the business, you know, 14 years in the business, completely different. You know, yes, customers have already always bought from who they like, and they've always wanted to do business with people that they appreciated, subject matter experts, but how fast it moved back. And we really realized with that follow-up that we needed to make sure that we had subject matter brand experts and what they were talking about for their dealership. Which really, you know, you think you want to make negotiators, right? We want to talk trade value. We want to talk price. We want to talk payment. But really, it was more so, no, we want to talk Toyota. We want to talk BMW. We want to talk this. And I thought that was pretty interesting that that came up and that we really needed to move back towards that brand awareness.
Yep. Anything to add there, Tom?
No, I think it's good.
So for both of you on this one, you know, I know there was a lot around you mentioned at the top, Tom, is a big part of this was, and as we talked on the rehearsal and we've talked before, is there was some issues around follow-up and being able to, you know, actually know who was calling, whether it was they hung up or whether they disconnected or whether maybe they just didn't get reached out. What new capabilities around follow-up did you guys really unlock, and how has that turned around some of the behaviors at the store?
So because we have Call Review connected so closely with Telium, again, there's not a single, consider this. We can actually, if one of our stores is struggling with selling a particular model of the cars they have, they can actually ask Telium to build out an audience of people that have looked at a VDP of that particular car or have called in and had conversations with our salespeople about buying that particular model of vehicle over the last 30 days. And they can export that into an audience. And then our people can take that audience and those the people that are in that list, and they can go have a relevant either conversation with that customer that is because they know what that customer is specifically interested in, or we can use different types of marketing, four or five different channels to market to those people. So that's only one example of how, but if you have that close connection between Call Review and Telium build out.
That's great. Were there any, before we move on to the next section, I know this is, you're very passionate about the next topic, Tom, were there any other big surprises, things that maybe worked better than you thought they would, or maybe the opposite, right? Maybe things that you wanted to initially tweak off the implementation.
I'll say that one more time.
Were there any big surprises, or were there any big kind of takeaways that you were like, oh, this isn't working the way I expected it. Maybe we tweak it a little bit.
Too numerous to mention. I mean, there's been multiple different instances along the way. It's all been a surprise, but sometimes difficult. But all the challenges, we overcame all of them, so we got where we are. I mean, I mentioned one, couldn't put the script up on the website was one. The vendors wouldn't put it up there. Number two, none of the customers. Every one of our websites, and I'm sure the people on this call's websites too, they probably have multiple vendors that provide products on their website. It's almost like having 14 websites instead of one, because when the customer interacts with that vendor, they're really off your site, even though it's still part of your site. Getting them to connect, getting them to integrate with Telium, that was a huge undertaking and very, very difficult to do. We had to kick a couple of vendors off the platform because they wouldn't cooperate. They came back later, though. There were multiple surprises.
Amazing. So let's get into, as we move into our next section here around results and some of the business impacts you guys are seeing. I'm going to launch our next poll, and that'll be popping up for our audience here in just a moment, and then we'll share the results here in a minute. So let's talk about, Tom, you're very, very passionate about this, and we've talked about this a lot. So first question to you, what metrics improved, or what were the KPIs that your initial set that you wanted to look at right when you got this integration done and up and running to improve?
So the most important thing to me was, so until we built out Telium, we had no ability to, we have about 36 million visitors to the Morgan Auto Group websites a year, all of our stores combined. That's a staggering number, isn't it? But unless they gave us a lead and only 1% did, we didn't know anything about it. So we now have the ability to, because of the website integration with TLM, we now have the ability to see how many visits we get and how many form leads we actually do generate. But more importantly than that, we're able to collect information and market to customers we couldn't see before. And so my number one thing that we're working on right now is making sure that we generate as many of those opportunities on people we couldn't see before, and developing marketing and different ways of reaching out to those customers so we can turn them from an anonymous shopper, if you will, to someone that we can get interaction going with and get our team interactive with, and we can turn them into a car sale. That represents an incredible opportunity. Another opportunity was we realized that on these service scheduling pages, as an example, it was amazing how many customers abandoned those, couldn't fill them out. We didn't know that before. We only saw the ones that did schedule from the tool. But that was a very small percentage of the people who are engaging in the tool. Now, we know the ones that kick out of the tool, and we're going to generate approximately somewhere based on the most recent, the last 2 months' results, we're going to generate around $60 million in additional customer parts revenue just by capturing those customers that abandoned the service scheduler before. Sure, some of those may have made their way to the dealership without us being able to tell that, but I'm not willing to bet that all of them would. So even if we only capture half of that as a true attribution, that's still $30 million we didn't have in fixed operations costs. Grant may be able to share some examples of some other metrics that we're working on. I mean, we've always been, as you well know, Eric, we've been always focused on our phone up closing ratio. That's been, ever since we first met Call Review, that's been a huge focus of ours. And because of this tighter integration and closer integration, we've moved our phone up closing ratio in the company by 250 basis points. So, which is huge on the amount of phone calls we get at the company. So, Grant, do you have any other ones that you want to talk about on measurement points that we're currently using?
No, the last one was the big key for me is how much our closing has gone. And then I think it was kind of touched upon, but just the engagement, the overall engagement when you're speaking with power has just gone up tremendously.
That's awesome to hear. So I think the other what I think I want to go to right now, you know, what, and you mentioned, you brought it up, excuse me. You brought it up a little bit, Tom. My five-year-old, I thought he was about to bust in the door, and we were going to have somebody joining us. But the beauties of working from home. So you mentioned it a little bit, right, on your conversion ratios there. Is how much did you see gained efficiencies in your sales and marketing strategies after you got this implemented?
So that's the next big area right there is we know. That we're going to be able to spend less money on marketing, yet be more effective. Simply because we're not wasting. We do a lot of direct mail. Florida direct mail's effective at a lot of our stores. All you had to do was go in the store. And a lot of that direct mail was driven around trade your car, you know, get a lot of money for your trade-in. And all you had to do was sit in a dealership when people walked in with the mail piece. And even the ones that walked in, none of them owned the car that we sent them the KBB offer one. Very few of them actually did. And there was multiple customers, same customer had multiple listings in the DMS. So by cleaning the data up, we now send out half the direct mail pieces at a store on a direct mail event and get twice the return. And the best news is the customers who walk in actually own the car that we sent them the offer on, which makes it so much easier to turn that into an actual car sale. That's one of many examples of how we can make marketing more efficient. And I'm 100% convinced that car dealerships, just we have been too. We've always been in the spray and pray business where we just spray marketing everywhere and pray that it works. But personalized marketing will be the future of the automotive business. It already is in most other industries, but But we have a vision of what that personalized marketing looks like for us. We're not there yet, but we're getting there every day. And that's what we're focused on, is that when you're talking to a customer about something that's very relevant to them, and it's personalized to them, that your conversation is going to be a lot more effective than just some general conversation that you're having.
Sure. Love it. So with that, I'm going to add our poll to stage, and I'm going to move us in because we are at just getting up in time. So I want to ask both of you a couple last couple of questions, and then we will say our goodbyes. So what advice would both of you give any of our audience here who are just starting this journey, right? Where should they start? Josh, I would love for you to jump in with this as well.
Awesome. Yeah. I would say, you know, this is your opportunity to reimagine the way that you interact with your customers, right? The world is completely used to Netflix and Amazon and Facebook and, you know, real-time adjustments and real-time personalization and real-time messaging. And, Tom had mentioned it before that a lot of the tools in the auto industry, might have been perceived as not working that way. But if you have the right capability to connect them together, in this case, you know, we help with some of that at least, that you can start to do the exact same thing. And, you know, so don't think that the limitations that you had in your marketing and customer contact tools have to be there. And, you know, that I think that's the biggest thing to you know, consider and to really sort of aspire to. I think the other part that you all were talking about a minute ago that was really interesting, really hit home to me, is the testing, right? Not only testing to prove your success, testing to continue to improve, but also testing to sell it internally within the organization, right? You have to sort of re-justify yourself every year for your budgets. You have to keep all these different teams inspired to keep collaborating together. So you need to prove to them what you're doing for them. So there's a lot of other reasons why testing is important. And if you don't build out the test before you do the new marketing campaign or whatever, it's much harder to pull those numbers after the fact. So figure out how you're going to do that test beforehand, build out a little control group, build out some different test groups, you know, do it like a statistician. And that way you'll have these numbers that you can point back to and you'll be sure that they're real and you'll be sure that they're accurate and you'll be able to use them for all those different reasons.
That was the answers to that poll were very wise. Whoever sent those, because those are the two challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So training a team, getting a team on board, you have to be able to explain what's in it for them. What that was, we have spent countless hours on regional workshops, regional training. I myself do Zoom meetings with all the general leaders at our stores. We call our general manager general leaders. I've had countless Zoom meetings where I explain to them. It starts with them, getting them convinced. And then Grant and the e-commerce directors work to get the stores to understand what's in it for them. That training and getting them on board, you will not succeed without that. And then I saw budgetary constraints. And that's a good one, by the way, because we have a giant scale. We have a big business, giant scale. We could afford to build our own CDP platform. If you're a single point dealer out there, I'll tell you right now, that's probably going to be a challenge for you. It probably won't be 5 years from now, because I think things will change on that, just like everything else as it becomes more adopted. I think pricing may come down, but right now, building out your own customer data platform is a very expensive solution. There are other solutions out there, though. You could go do what's a hybrid, if you will. There's some companies out there that basically will rent you space in their CDP platform they build out, and that's better than nothing. I can tell you that can work as well. But I would tell you, get a consultant to help you, somebody who knows this space, because you will be surprised on the journey on the things you did not know. And hopefully somebody can help you not make a whole lot of mistakes along the way.
That's great. Thank you, Tom. Grant, anything for you?
No, just, you know, thank you for the opportunity to join such elite people. You know, I think we covered on a lot of the things. So I think it's just that, you know, once you commit to it, it's just that unwavering thought, and you have to never waver from the fact that you know it's going to improve your business. And if you stick to that, it just comes out of your pores and people want to be a part of it through osmosis. And that's how you have to maintain it.
Great. Thank you, Grant. So we're going to go ahead and close it down there first. Thank you once again to Mr. Tom Moore and Mr. Grant Hocking from Morgan Auto Group for joining us. And as always, the amazing Josh Wolf from Telium. I'm Eric Glass from Call Review and the Inside Track. And we will see you guys next time. Thank you and take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.